Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGVM Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. Well, how are you doing with that spring ahead time change thing this weekend? You know, it always takes me about a week to get used to it. Dancing helps me with this. So if you're in a safe space and feel like moving, let's do that at the bottom of the hour. Today's episode of Desert Oracle Radio was produced by Ken Lane on March 8th, 2024, and it's titled The Voice of the Desert. This episode has a classic Desert Oracle feel to it, and I hope you'll like it. And stay tuned. As I said, the second half of our show today is going to be just a little different. Enjoy.
Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert. The windy and rainy Mojave of this winter time becoming springtime here and there. Yesterday afternoon, I was having a martini on the patio of a little French restaurant I liked down in Palm Desert, and it was a pleasant and beautiful 68 degrees. The sun was shining. People walking El Paseo in crisp clothing made for the leisure life. Lots of cheerful little well-groomed dogs getting their walks, and meanwhile, churning atop the mountains rising up so dramatically to the west, another winter storm was at work, right above us all. I looked at the National Weather Service reports, and there was heavy rain and street flooding on the Inland Empire side of the mountains. More wind lashing the California coastline, more snow piling up in the Sierra, and the mountains between Death Valley and Las Vegas piling up on Charleston Peak. That is one of the strange and beautiful bounties you win from calling these deserts home, watching the rain shadow effect at work. Seeing the blue-black clouds tied up at the peaks rising straight up above you. And sure enough, on the ride back up the mountains to the Mojave High Desert, the temperature dropped 25 degrees and rain lashed the highway. And I could not have had a more dramatic change in scenery had I bought a plane ticket. Especially considering how poorly the passenger planes are doing lately. Doors falling out, wheels falling off, engines on fire, just a complete crumbling of a transportation system. And for all that, arriving 2 hours early and increased checked luggage prices, crazy people on the planes. you go through all that and you end up back at the same airport and have to be interviewed by the National Transportation Safety Board, you might as well just stay at home. So we take it for granted in the high desert, or really any desert ringed by mountains, we take it for granted that we can see the geography around us better than any satellite view on the computer map. I can be writing all day from my perch here at home, like Flocko the owl in the sad cage he thankfully escaped, but meanwhile I'm keeping an eye on the weather, on the clouds and sandstorms and rain showers, because I can see it all. Some 600 square miles all around, from the peaks of the national park to San Gorgonio to the Cleghorn Lakes Wilderness beyond Wonder Valley. If it's raining here, I know where it's not raining, and that's where I'll go for the afternoon walk in the mountains, somewhere around here, within a half hour drive or so. Now, I don't mind the rain. I like to walk in the rain sometimes. And the dog doesn't mind the rain. But when it's cold and windy, I'll take some sunshine if I can get it. Years ago, I was driving around with somebody. Was it Brendan Mays? We were coming down from Yucca Mesa, driving south. The whole western side of the national park unfolding before us, with the sun and shadow and jagged geography doing their tricks of perception and light. And Brendan says, it must have been Brendan. Brendan says, Did gravity stop working out here? We're level and it feels like we're plunging into the abyss. Something like that. It was a long time ago. We had been up on the mesa looking at this dilapidated Biltmore shack he had some idea about turning into a Zen retreat for Buddhists, you know? But there was really no way to completely hide the auto junkyard on the 5 acres next door. This is Desert Oracle Radio, and I'm your host, Ken Lane. The soundscapes you hear on this program are written and performed and recorded at an unknown location by our own Red, Blue, Black, Silver. Sometime last summer, I received a postcard from a Pacific Crest trail hiker who'd passed through Idlewild, where she picked up a postcard with a strange, hairy figure on the picture side. There was a Sasquatch, better known around here as the mountain monster Tokwitz. Although, to be honest, it was really somebody in a Wookiee costume posing in front of a fake traffic sign tacked to a pine tree. A fake yellow warning sign announcing a Bigfoot crossing. Chantel? I still don't know how to pronounce the name exactly, or at all. Maybe I'm supposed to stress the last E, maybe not. Chantel had sent this postcard. I don't know when, really. Some weeks, maybe months, before I managed to drive down to the Joshua Tree post office and pick it up. The post office box lobby that inexplicably closes at 5 p.m. on weekdays because apparently Joshua Tree exists in some alternate world outside the normal U.S. Postal Service reality. Where the whole point of having a post office box is that you can pick up your mail regardless of the time of day. I used to like picking up my mail on Sunday night, rolling into town, just as most of the tourists were rolling out on their way back to wherever they come from. That used to be a good time to get the mail and stop at a bar or one of our 7 or 8 or 12 Mexican restaurants, because there's nothing else to eat around here besides the poison slop tossed through the drive-thru window at the High Desert's 2 dozen third-tier fast food franchises. And the handful of tourist eateries all keep bizarre hours like 2 p.m. to 4:45 p.m. on alternate Mondays and Thursdays. Anyway, it's a struggle around here to just pick up your mail. Because, I'm told, of the vortex. Now, I'm not sure what a vortex is, but it apparently affects a human's ability to run a normal business or government office like everywhere else in America. Anyway, after many mysterious months, Desert Oracle received a second postcard from Chantel. And it goes like this. Dear Desert Oracle, greetings from mile 2,466 on the Pacific Crest Trail. I skipped the Sierra section this year, a record snow year, but Northern California was beautiful and burnt. Oregon was flatter than the rest of the PCT, and Washington is gorgeous when it's not all fog. And it's signed, Chantel.
Desert Oracle Radio.
Oh, and there's a postscript, a PS at the bottom. It's sort of obscured by the Postal Service barcode on the bottom. Only about 200 miles left until the Canadian border. I'll get back to the Sierra next year. Thanks again for keeping me entertained on the trail, Chantel. Well, thanks for keeping us posted. Thanks for this picture postcard from Leavenworth, Washington. The picture shows a group of women in what looks like traditional Central European or maybe Scandinavian folk costume, dresses of red with white aprons, white stockings, black shoes, all circling around a great maypole and winding the long, colorful ribbons that they learned to expertly twine around the pole. I wonder if this still happens in Leavenworth, Washington, or if anti-pagan fanatics have stomped it out. The way they have stomped out school Halloween festivals and replaced them with so-called harvest festivals. Robbed of humanity's ancestral spirits and strange, spooky vibes. The caption says, "The Maypole be ribboned at Mayfest in Leavenworth, Washington. Celebration of the arrival of spring and the budding of birch trees brings music, a grand march, and art to the park. The second Saturday and Sunday of May, Leavenworth's Junior Miss reigns over the festivities." So I just looked it up. It's Alpine folk costume is in the European Alps. And Leavenworth is apparently a Bavarian-style village. I've never been there. Bavarian, not barbarian. And the Mayfest is still happening, as it has since 1971. Listen to this. It's right on the town's website. They don't even hide it, like in The Wicker Man. Traditional Mayfest celebration, May 10 through 12, 20 and 24. We've been doing Mayfest right since 1971. This weekend will fill your entertainment card right up with maypole dancing, Bavarian music, our annual Festzug Grand March, where town folk dress in their Bavarian best to welcome you to town, and so much more. We love our Bavarian. We love our Bavarian traditions, and this weekend is full of them. Well, that sounds pretty good. There's a whole month of Mayfest events in May. Every weekend, only 2.5 hours east of Seattle by Scenic Mountain Highway. Maybe I'll go this year. They've got beer gardens and beer halls and European bakeries and a big cider house. All kinds of Italian and German and Swiss restaurants. And only one Mexican restaurant, according to the list on the town's website. Incredible. Maybe somebody will take me up there for the weekend. And if it's anything like the Swiss Alps, maybe Leavenworth has its own Shagata. Those are the shaggy-haired, very tall mountain monsters, something like what you see on the Matterhorn ride at Disneyland. Or what you might see out by the east gate of the Marine Base in 29 Palms, where the Yucca Man is said to wander on certain nights. But it is not time to depart the desert just yet, not when the mild springtime and many wildflowers are so close at hand. Now, you might know this radio show as the Voice of the Desert, which was originally the motto of the little magazine I started a decade ago, Desert Oracle. The idea then and now is that a publication or local radio program should be the voice of the area. The way our local station in Joshua Tree is the voice of the Morongo Basin. Or how a TV station in Bristol, Tennessee might be the voice of Tri-State Appalachia, etc. It all comes from Latin, vox populi. Vox populi, the voice of the people. Vox clamantis in deserto, a voice crying out in the wilderness, that comes from the book of Isaiah. That's the Latin translation of the phrase, anyway. I've always liked that one. But I like any kind of motto best when it has several meanings, layers of meaning. So I was thinking about the coyotes and how the coyote song is the true voice of the desert. So if you look in the magazine, the periodical, there's a howling coyote on page 2 of every issue. Next to the slogan, the voice of the desert. All right, who cares, you might be saying. Why won't you tell me about make-believe alien surgeons operating on my foot at night for some reason? Who cares indeed? I don't really care who cares, which is the opposite sentiment of the classic Tom T. Hall song I remember from childhood, where weird old Uncle Tom T is telling his nephew or niece or some little child he knows that even though life can be hard, even though parents demand ridiculous things from little children who really don't want to go to a restaurant and sit in a high chair while the adults drink margaritas and eat fajitas again, Tom T. Hall wanted the kids to know that old Uncle Tom T. cares. I think the song is called I Care. Which is better than it sounds, I promise. It's on his album of folktales for kids, including the wonderful Mysterious Fox of Fox Hollow. Anyway, another use of Voice of the Desert comes in the title of a 1956 book by Joseph Wood Crutch, The Voice of the Desert. I've got an old hardcover, and it even has the color slip jacket of a saguaro and silhouette before a multi-layered Sonoran sunset. And I've been reading some of this book lately and figured I'd read a few lines on the show tonight. Because even though it's from 3/4 of a century ago, it still describes the desert we know and love today. To find an answer to the more interesting question, to find an animal which refuses to live anywhere except in the desert, to find one which is, in his own peculiar way, very demanding, even though what he demands is what most animals would not have at any price, I do not have to go far. Indeed, I do not have to go any further from my doorstep than I went to find the spadefoot toad. And it happens that I intruded upon this perfect desert dweller at a dramatic moment only a few days ago when I stepped out in the early morning and was startled by a large chicken-sized bird. If you can still call him a bird. Who was dashing madly back and forth at right angles to my line of vision. His headlong plunges were so like those of a frenzied hen who seems to be rushing madly in all directions at once that for a moment I thought I'd frightened him out of his wits. As it turned out, he was merely too busy at the moment to acknowledge my presence. As to what he was, that question could be answered by even the most unobservant person who has ever driven a highway in the desert. He was one of the commonest, as well as perhaps the most remarkable of all desert birds. Namely, a roadrunner. Nearly 2 feet of relentless energy from the tip of his wicked bill to the tip of his long, expressive tail, which may trail the ground when he is calm or depressed, or be raised almost as straight up as the tail of a confident cat when he is happily angry, as indeed he seems to be a good part of the time. From Amboy to Zizix, and across these Mojave Desert lands, this has been Desert Oracle Radio. If you are in or around the Mojave High Desert, you can tune in at 10 p.m. Friday nights on our local station up here, Z107.7 FM. Or otherwise, just get it off the podcast player for as long as that system remains semi-functional. Even better and much appreciated by the entire Desert Oracle staff. That's me. Subscribe to our Patreon page, patreon.com/Desert Oracle, and you'll get some early episodes and bonus live shows and other such content. I'll even send you a Desert Oracle postcard from Joshua Tree if you let me know your mailing address when you sign up. As mentioned, Red, Blue, Black, Silver made the soundscapes you heard tonight. And you can find more of his work at Bandcamp, although our closing theme, which I still use now and then, that's by Pierre Langer, who is no relation to Red, Blue, Black, Silver. I mean, I don't really know. Maybe they're cousins. But you can find more of his music at Bandcamp. You know, the weeks and months go by, the seasons of our lives, and I never seem to get to this list of corrections and clarifications I'm supposed to make. But let's get to this one. When I mentioned the Joe Ely record, The Road Goes On Forever, I did not separately credit the songwriter, the great Robert Earl Keen. Joe Ely's version sold pretty well for a genre of music that never sold a ton of copies, and that's how it became Robert Earl Keen's signature song. I mostly say this so people who spend too much time being nitpicky about music can't get you down. My Way is a Frank Sinatra song, even though Paul Anka wrote it. Real heads know Shel Silverstein wrote Johnny Cash as a Boy Named Sue. Get outside and enjoy the good weather. And good night. From the Voice of the Desert.
Well, we are at the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay on KGVM 95.9 FM, Bozeman Community Radio. March is Women's History Month, and I'm feeling a real connection to my sisters everywhere. To honor them, let's have some music followed by an interview you won't want to miss. Let's start it off with Sisters by Halusi Nation and Northern Voice from the Nation to Nation album. Dance if you feel like it. Women's History Month 2024 theme celebrates women who advocate for equity, diversity, and inclusion. Amelia Earhart said, "The most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is merely tenacity." Rosa Parks said, "You must never be fearful about what you are doing when it is right." This week, I interviewed a woman who advocates for equity, diversity, and inclusion in outdoor recreation in Montana. All right, it is a beautiful sunny day, and I'm sitting on a bench along the Galligator Trail with a very dynamic woman, and I'm going to let her introduce herself to you.
Hi, I'm Tanya Daniels, and I am the founder of Mountain Girl.
Way cool. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Sure. Mountain Girl is an organization that does what we can to help to get women outside. So we do educational events, we do community events on all sorts of topics, everything from learning how to fly fish to painting outdoors. So we've been pretty diverse, and we're just slowly building a community of women that love to get outside, no matter how that looks.
And how long has the organization been in place?
This will be our fifth year, actually, of being in place, and it seems to have really suddenly taken off in about the past year, which is really exciting.
And do you have an event coming up that you want to talk about?
Oh, yes, definitely. So coming up March 16th on Saturday is the fourth annual Mountain Girl Film Festival. Along with that film festival, we have a vendor show that features women-owned businesses in the outdoor space, and then also nonprofit organizations that are in the community. The films all feature women in the outdoors, everything from women that are trail runners. One of the films this year features a lady who's in her 80s and she's still skiing. There's a fly fishing movie. So we try to do a pretty diverse set of topics. The tickets to attend the event are $20. We'll have Dreamboat Market there from Livingston doing some food. And if you guys have not tried Dreamboat Market yet, you definitely should. She really does a fantastic job of featuring really fresh local ingredients in all of her dishes, and she's going to be doing like some burrito bowls for us at the film festival, so that's really going to be great. I think we're going to have a spot where you can play some cornhole, so lots of different opportunities to socialize and also educate yourself when it comes to talking to the nonprofits, and also get a glimpse of some of the super talented women that own businesses that live in our community. It's one of my favorite events that we do.
I'm going to add that the film festival is really fantastic and inspirational and just a lot of fun. Okay, so where is this event going to be, and what day and what time?
So the event is on Saturday, March 16th, and will be at the Emerson. The vendor show starts at 5 o'clock, and it's open from 5 to 7. And if you wanted to just come to the vendor show, that's totally free. You're welcome to just come and attend that. Films start at 7 o'clock, and runtime is about until 9 o'clock. Tickets for that are $20 a piece. And then we also have a raffle that includes several different baskets that people can choose how they would like to enter as far as the raffle goes. And that raffle benefits the Backcountry Squatters Scholarship Program.
Ooh, tell me more about that.
So the Backcountry Squatters is a national organization that actually started here on the campus at MSU. And they are very similar to Mountain Girl in that they are doing their best to get women or female identifying persons into the outdoors. But it's at the college level, of course. So it's really exciting that an organization like that started and is still based in Bozeman.
Nice. when you mentioned that was at the college level, it makes me wonder, do you know the approximate age range of your members?
As far as Mountain Girl goes, we have had women of all ages attend our events, everywhere from 18 years old up to, we've had a couple of ladies attend our cross-country ski clinics that were in their 70s. So we reach all ages and all levels, which is also really cool to watch the dynamics of a group when you have all those different age levels interacting with each other.
Boy, I agree. And if someone wants to see the films, but they don't feel comfortable in a group setting because of, you know, infection and things like that, is there a way they can see these films?
Yeah, we have a virtual option. And if you just once again go to our website to purchase that ticket, and you will get an email that tells you how to go through the steps so that you can just watch that in the comfort of your home. Last year when we did the film festival was the day that Bozeman received over 20 inches of snow. And so we had a lot of people that couldn't make it. And it turned out that the virtual option really helped us out in that specific condition because they were still able to watch the films at home. So it's a fantastic way if you don't want to drive to town or if the weather does happen to turn out to be not so good, you can watch those films. And the virtual option actually goes for several different days. So you don't have to watch it exactly on Saturday at exactly the same time as we're doing the film festival.
And you mentioned your website. Can you give that for our listeners?
Sure. So the website is www.themtngirl.com.
So, Tanya, what are your favorite outdoor activities?
Honestly, I really love almost anything that just gets me outside, whether it's sitting beside the creek and reading my book or fishing. My husband and I like to do a lot of backcountry hiking and camping. I'm not much of a skier, still kind of learning the cross-country ski aspects of things, but I love all the weather. I grew up on a ranch, and we were just always outside, and so I feel like that's really just a part of me, and being outside just restores my soul in so many ways. You know, if I'm having a bad day or feeling like I'm stuck, a little walk, 30-minute walk outdoors does a body good.
I totally agree. And I always like to ask people, what is your favorite place in Montana? And I realize you may not want to give the name to kind of keep it, you know, special. But if you can just describe what it means to you and why you like that place, that would be really cool.
You know, I do have to say, living in Montana, we are so lucky in the we have so many places that are just exactly like what you described, and they are that piece of refuge for so many different people. Personally, I really, really love the Beartooth Mountains, primarily because that's where my family used to go when we were kids, and so I'm really familiar with that area. But once again, gosh, we're just so lucky to have so many mountain ranges to choose from. Obviously, the mountains are what I really, really love. Any place that's got some cool, crisp mountain air and a little stream going by, and you can watch the little trout in that stream, even if you're not fishing. All of those things, all of those things are really close to my heart. And I always just think of when we pull up on the mountains, my mom used to roll the window down on the pickup and just take a really deep breath, and she'd say, "Oh, doesn't it smell so good?"
Oh, yeah.
There's something about the evergreen forest and the pine cones, and that just like that first breath, it feels like it just, I don't know, fills you up with hope and calms you. I don't know how to explain it really.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And since it's National Women's History Month, is there any particular woman you can think of that has really inspired you?
You know, once again, I have to go back to my mom. Growing up on a ranch, my mom did it all, everything from cooking dinner and making sure that we were all fed to driving a tractor to moving cows or whatever it was that needed to be done. And she still made sure that us kids had a great childhood. And she still made sure that we knew what was really important and took the time to have fun, even though when you're on a ranch, there's no end to the work. But Mom always, and still does, infuse the fun aspects into the day. She's the one who reminds us to slow down and take a minute and take that deep breath and give yourself a little smile. Yeah.
Oh, that is so good. Okay, the last thing I'm going to ask you, Tanya, is there any question that I did not ask you today that you wish someone would ask you?
So the whole idea behind Mountain Girl is that you don't have to be that extreme outdoor woman who climbs to the top of the peak every single time and is out there conquering all of these, the trophies. You're not out there collecting those trophies that look like mountain peaks. But instead, the outdoors is for everyone, and it doesn't matter what your age is or what your background is, what kind of clothes you wear, what sort of body type you are, or even how old you are. If you're able and willing to get outside, that's what we're about, and we're hoping to not only inspire women to do that, but also to gather with us at Mountain Girl events and find that commonality and maybe a great outdoors partner that you can go and do those activities that you love.
That is lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I also want to talk about the Sacagawea Audubon Society's meeting this week. It's titled The Ins and Outs of Raptor Rehab in Southwest Montana with Keaton Thomas, Education Director at Montana Raptor Conservation Center. And this is from their newsletter. It says, ready to step into the world of some majestic raptors? Well, let's take a wild ride to Montana Raptor Conservation Center and discover how MRCC staff and volunteers care for the injured raptors of Southwest Montana. Not only that, but meet 12 raptor ambassadors virtually and learn how they're trained to spread their wings and travel to schools, libraries, and other events. From the daily care of these birds to the enrichments of their lives, you'll get a bird's eye view of all the raptor-tastic fun. The in-person meeting will be held Monday, March 11th at Hope Lutheran Church, 2152 West Graff, just off South 19th. The social begins at 6:30 p.m. The program begins at 7 p.m. Attendees are encouraged to bring their own reusable cups. And you can go to the SacagaweaAudubon.org website if you want to follow the link to sign up for watching this online. And yeah, it's a good event. I'm going to attend online. My thanks to Ken Lane for sharing his work on Desert Oracle Radio. Thanks to Tanya Daniels and Mountain Girl. Thanks to Hallucination, Northern Voice, and to The Cult for our music. And thanks to you for listening today. You can call or text me at 406-404-6246 with anything you'd like to say, hear, or talk about. You can hear this program on the air at 95.9 FM Bozeman Community Radio, or you can stream it online at kgbm.org at 7 p.m. Sunday and 9 a.m. Monday. Our past Desert Oracle Radio replay episodes are also available on demand on the kgbm.org website. Till next week, stay well and sweet dreams. And in honor of all the dynamic women of the world, past and present, let's have The Cult take us out with Fire Woman from their Sonic Temple album. I'm dancing. Are you?